broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue, and our post office box number is 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. And this is Pastor H.G. Gale speaking, inviting you to stay tuned with us for this hour and worship with us in song and praises and in the message. And may our Lord's richest blessings rest upon us, keep us and lead us, our Father, in this hour. Thank Thee for the hours past and gone, and Thy blessings that have rested upon it, upon us. How You bless our hearts, how You've given us assurance and comforts we drew from Thy grace. Our Father, we pray Thy blessings upon this waiting audience before us here and out in radio land. Bless the message. Oh, bless Thy word. We believe it, our Lord, and may others come to believe it and to be satisfied with it. And may the Holy Spirit, our Father, just adopt it to their lives. Their lives will be transformed. In Christ's name we ask it, and for His sake. Amen. Now let's turn to number 332. 332. We have an anchor. Sing it on out. Do you have an anchor? Come on and sing it. Number 403, Great is Thy Faithfulness. I'm asking you to stand as we sing it. Everybody singing? I wonder if there's anything wrong with this microphone by down here. Let's have them pick you up. I heard that tape last week. It sounded pretty good to sing it. So come on and sing. Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Oh,
Great is thy faithfulness. Thank you. Now, at this time, I want to make a special announcement here. I know you may have not come prepared for this. I've been asked lately, why don't we take up a collection, a love offering for Dr. Copeland? He wasn't with us this past fellowship day. His bills have accumulated somewhat. And, of course, you know he's sending us messages to put in the magazines, the prophetic messages that is blessing so many hearts. It's costing money for a secretary to type that. And I'm wondering if not today, next week, next Sunday, you bring your special love offering for him, or during the week, get you an envelope. And just drop it in the basket, or bring it to the office, or out there in Radio Land, you mail us a love offering for Dr. Copeland, and we'll see that he gets it. And I'm certain he doesn't know anything about this, but I believe it'll make him feel rather good to know that we're thinking of him, and not that it takes something like this for him to know that we're thinking of him, but I believe he can use the money. So whatever you feel led to give, to send us $10, $15, $20, $25, $5, you do that during the week. And all of you in Radio Land and throughout this tape ministry, you send a love gift. It may take maybe weeks before this is played somewhere else, but we'll be waiting on you too. We can wait. And anything that comes in, we'll send it to Dr. Copeland. And I thank you. I was just thinking about it, praying over it, and listening to different ones, and so I just had to tell you about it. And so you send your offering in for Dr. Copeland. This is a special offering for him. And let's not forget our other work, our tithes and offerings and our pledges. Let's not forget that. Just go ahead. We just keep going until the Lord comes. Now, that's all the announcements at this time. Now I have a message here. I'm just going to ask you to keep your Bibles closed, unless perhaps I may quote a scripture to turn to it. But I want to speak on the unchangeableness of God this morning. Thinking about the message all this week, I didn't get it till just day before yesterday, and spent my time in my room pretty near all yesterday evening getting this message together. But the unchangeableness of God. Now, what led to this message? What led me to bring this message this morning? Well, I saw how changeable I was. I saw it every day. I see it every day, how changeable I am. And therefore, when I got to thinking about the unchangeableness of God, that He doesn't change not, He changes not, that I'm so grateful, I'm so thankful. I'm glad He's not like man. I'm glad that He's not like you and I. We change. Oh, so many ways. The believer has so many changes, seems like, in his life. And how he cries over them. He's so inconsistent. He just cries day and night over them. Many times you can't sleep because of your failures, and you're so changeable. And you're wondering what in the world can happen, what can be done to make you consistent. Well, as long as we live in these frail bodies, we'll always be like that. It's not until we get to glory that we shall be unchangeable then, like our Lord. So much inconsistency in our life. We find in Malachi 3:6, I am Jehovah, I change not. Isn't it wonderful you think about that? He is to know a God that doesn't change. other gods change. God is unchangeable in His nature. His nature is unchangeable. I'm glad of that. He's not like you and I, we change. We have a changeable nature. God is unchangeable in His decree. What He decreed, what He has decreed, it shall stand. My counsels shall stand. What He decreed beforehand in eternity shall be carried out to the nth degree. No change. Nothing is altered. I'm glad. My salvation cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. He whom God saves is eternally. It cannot be changed. Cannot be altered. Cannot. Now don't you praise the Lord for a salvation like that? For a God that governs you like that? Don't you praise Him? God is unchangeable in His degree. Now as to His nature, we read in James 1:17, now you listen, with whom is no variableness and neither shadow of turning. Now I'm reading you from God's Word this morning. I'm more or less going to quote Scriptures. So you must believe the Scriptures if you will be blessed. Now let me read again. With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He is always the same. At all seasons of the year, never changes. In all ages, there is no change in His character, no change in His purposes and His plans, no change. I do want to read this over here in Hebrews. All right, turn to Hebrews, the first chapter. This got a hold of my heart years ago. Never gotten away from it. In the first chapter of Hebrews, that 10th verse. And Thou, Lord, in the beginning, has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thine hands. They shall perish. The heavens shall perish. But Thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt Thou fold them up. And they shall be changed. But Thou art the same. And Thy years shall not fail. How often have you read that? Have you read that before? I like that 12th verse. And as a vesture shalt Thou fold them up. And they shall be changed, but Thou art the same, and Thy years shall not fail. What an unchangeable God. Thou art the same, as Psalms 102:27 expresses. Thou art the same, through the Scriptures, the prophets, the apostles. Thou art the same. He never changes. Princes and emperors are subject to change. Kingdoms and nations are subject to change. And they are changing all the time, rapidly. Nations changing. Governments changing. Nothing stable. All unrest, unsettled. Everything changeable. But Thou art the same. The heavens that declare the glory of God shall be, as Psalms 102:26 declares, they shall be changed, the heavens. 2 Peter 3:12 tells us that the heavens shall melt with fervent heat, but not he who dwells in heaven, not him, but the heavens shall be. With God, there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. He's the God of my salvation, friends. He's the strength of my hope. The God, the unchangeable God, the omnipotent God. The best saints have their changes. I thought about that this week. Oh, how changeable I am. I change. Feelings. Everything. I change. Sometime I'm in good health, sometime I'm in poor health. Sometime I'm weak, sometime I'm strong. Sometime my mind is clear, sometime it's blank. Sometime I think and I cannot think. Other times I think just as clear as can be. Sometimes I can do this and that, other times I cannot. It just shows I'm so changeable. But listen, listen. Yes, the best saints have their changes. The born-again believers are full of variations. Though the seed of grace does not die in the saints, yet its beauty and activity often withers, doesn't it? Sometimes Christ is ever so precious to us. Other times, doesn't seem as so. Sometimes our faith is at high tide, you might say. You know, the high tide of the ocean, the oil waters. You say it's high tide. Many times our faith is at high tide, and sometimes is at a low ebb, isn't it? So little faith. Sometimes His love flames in our hearts and lives. At another time, it is like fire in the embers. He has lost His first love. One time David was made to exclaim, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Oh, the God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised." But you know, you look at David at another time, and you'll hear him saying, "I shall one day perish by the hand of Saul." You see, the great contrast that takes place in the believer's life. Oh yes, when things are not going smooth, and things seem to be caving around us, and people are rejecting the truth, and our loved ones are rising up against us, our friends, and seemingly people are withholding their money, their finance, and we get to wondering how we're going to carry on. And many times our faith gets at a low ebb, doesn't it? The tide is very low then. Oh, but my friends, when everything is going along fine, money's coming in, there's victory over the enemy. There's victory over our unbelief. There's victory over our little faith. And there's the hope set before us just as bright as ever. Oh, yes, we change into a better condition then. You see how our nature changes, the believer? Instead of it being on one even keel, traveling down, knowing that God is unchangeable. Listen, let's go on. There is not a true Christian living that can say he does not find a change similar to that of David. Only in glory will our change for the better be unchangeable. Think about that. We'll never be perfect here. Never will. Never will. Oh, we could cry out with the Apostle Paul, "That which I do, I cannot do. And that I don't want to do, that I find myself doing those things contrary to my new nature." Ah, but when we die and go on to be with the Lord, then all of that shall be changed for the better. Everything shall be perfect. There'll be no changeable in glory. Here we're frustrated many times. Many times we're just beset by problems and vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And we wonder if there's any fear of God in the hearts of men. And then we despair sometime that any soul will ever get saved. Any more souls will ever be saved. Oh, but then it's time for us to rise above those things and to know that our God is unchangeable. And we see our loved ones drifting and rebelling and not concerned with the truth. They're taken up with everything in the world, and we consider their estate and their unhappiness, and all that they'll lose in going after the things of this world. And then we'll many times become discouraged. But listen, our God is unchangeable. His decree is unchangeable. His promises are unchangeable. We still have the promises of God that we can plead for them and to call upon His name. We have access to His throne of grace. But God is without any shadow of turning, my friend. The angels were subject to change. The angels, they were created holy. But Jude 6 tells us that the angels which kept not their first estate, they were the morning stars of heaven, and yet they became the falling stars, that group that led off with Satan and fell with him. But listen, believer, God's glory shines with a fixed brightness all the time. With a fixed brightness. We see the clouds, but we do not see that which is above the clouds many times. But God's love, God's glory shines with a fixed brightness. In Him there is nothing that looks like a change, for better or worse. He is immutably holy. He is immutably good. There is no shadow of change in our God. In 1 Timothy 6:16, we read, "Who only hath immortality, dwellings in the light, which no man can approach unto, who no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting." Makes him so different, doesn't it, from us? And then how man loves to put themselves in the place of God to be like Him. How foolish they are to think that they can frustrate the decrees of God, the promise of God, His written word, His way of salvation. He's unchangeable. Men try to set themselves up as God. Yes, men are changeable. The Godhead cannot die. He is eternal. Hebrews 13:8 tells us Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. You get that? Did you get that? Jesus Christ. So let's not try to put the Lord on the same level as we. He's unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen. And we must learn that over and over again. Men are fickle. Fickle. You know, men are fickle. And mutable, like unstable waters. Men are changeable in their principles, their opinions, and in their resolutions. Now I'm talking about men. Oh, why should God look upon men like you and I? So unchangeable, so unfixed in our principles, in our resolutions. How many resolve in their hearts that they are going to change their evil way of living? But quickly repent of their resolutions. How many said, I'm going to make a better home? How many men have said that? I'm going to make a better home, a better father, a better husband. I'm going to stop my drinking Am I carousing around and running after other women? And I'm a pay attention to my home. But oh, how quickly they repent of their resolutions. They say one thing and then mean another. So how fickle men are. How uncertain are our thoughts and our opinions. How many of you here this morning or out in Radio Land, you have resolved in your heart that you are coming to Christ. I'm coming to Him. Nothing will stop me. But like the wind that blows in the east, it presently turns about to the west. You alter your course. Yeah, you've stayed. You've stayed yourself. You've stopped along the way. You've argued with the Word of God. And you wonder at all that you want to be saved. And first thing you know, there you are. You're in the situation that we're describing. You're so changeable in your desires and your want. Oh, I'm coming to Christ. I want to know Him. But you're sitting there, you're tarrying, and you're perishing. While the Word of God is here, and the Lord is nigh to give you salvation in Christ, you begin to think about other things that you desire, other wants, other cravings. And you think about your friends behind, what they'll think about you. Or you think about your children, what they think about you. And everything. And so you're like the wind that blows. And it returns to his own course. And you alter your course. And I find something else. Men are changeable in their friendship. In their friendship. It's hard to find a true friend unless that individual is saved. If that individual is saved, you'll find a true friend that will stay with you and understand you. But they're changeable. They don't know Christ, they'll change. Listen, sometimes they will take you to their bosom and they'll think the world of you and pay you the highest respect. And then after a while, they'll dissociate themselves from you. Oh, how I've seen that occur here year after year during our pastor's earthly ministry here. How they would embrace him, take him to their bosom, and do everything in the world for him. And then the first thing you know, when things got hot and the gospel got dealing with their hearts, how they turn on him and shove him off. So changeable as men. So changeable are they. Well, that's true. You think about it. And like the Apostle Paul said one time there, he said, there was a time you'd pluck your eyes out for me if I needed them. But there were times they were talking about him later on and staying away from him and contradicting him. And how changeable men are unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only true friend that I have in this world is that individual who knows Christ and who can fellowship with me in Christ, who knows that same unchangeable God as I know Him. It may be your loved one, but it may be my loved one. But if my loved one does not know Christ, that individual is changeable as can be. That individual has no knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, who desires not the knowledge of Him. You cannot trust him as a friend. Do you know that? You certainly can't trust him as a friend. Not unless you see repentance wrought in their life by the Holy Spirit, and they'll be bemoaning themselves of their sins, of their attitude against the truth and against God's Christ, the unchangeable God. Yes, they're unchangeable in their friendship. They quickly love and just as quickly hate. Sometimes they will take you to their bosom, then they'll dissociate themselves from you. They change as the waves of the sea. But listen, my friend, my comfort, my joy is that my God is unchangeable. He is immutable. And His actions and His love and His favors towards me
doesn't change. He never changes. There are changes in everything but in God.
Psalm 62:9 tells us, surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. We bless the creature more than the Creator. We look for more from the creature than God. There is much comfort here for the true saints of God. If we lose our loved ones or our friends by death, this is our comfort. God is unchangeable. Listen to it, my friends. I may suffer great losses. I may lose my health. I may lose my home. I may lose my children. But there's one thing I know, my friends, I cannot lose my God and my Savior. He's unchangeable. He never dies. I read in Habakkuk 3:17-19, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herds in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. And He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. What assurance! What comfort! What joy! What strength! What confidence! What hope in an eternal, eternal, unchangeable God! You know where you'll find Him? In here, in the Word of God. Search for Him, you'll find Him. You'll know Him. Yes, outward things die and change. But may we all be able to say like David, Thou art the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That's the only sure thing we have, friends, is the Word of God, His promises, and an unchangeable God. He is the only sure thing, a sure certainty of what we have, is an unchangeable God who changeth not. I change, my friends. I saw myself this past week. I change 1,000 times 10,000. But I praise Him that He is unchangeable. I know that there are times when we are made to bemoan our unbelief, our little faith. And our grace seems to be gone from us at times, doesn't it? Certainly does. The bride expressed it so well in Song of Solomon 5:6. My beloved had withdrawn himself. Yet, He is unchangeable. He is immutable in His love. He may change His countenance. Now you listen. He may change His countenance, but He doesn't change His heart. He may withdraw His comforts from us, His countenance from us, but His heart remains the same because He is an unchangeable God.
Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? Is this all strange to you, my friends? Have you been taken up with things so that this is a strange story to you, the message this morning? Or does it hearten you? Does it comfort you? Does it strengthen you to know that that's what you've been thinking all along and you had a knowledge of all along, that God is unchangeable and you're so changeable? Yes, He is immutable. He is unchangeable. He is immutable in His love. He may change His countenance, but certainly He cannot change His heart. He speaks to us in Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And that can be interpreted a love of eternity. A love for eternity. There's no change in His love. These is unchangeable. His attitude towards His people are unchangeable. His love, His heart, everything that He's promised is unchanged towards His people. Once God's electing love rises upon the soul, that love never sets. Let me repeat that. You didn't get it, did you? Once God's electing love rises upon the soul, it never sets. Listen to Isaiah 54:10. The mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, and neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. Now God decreed that, didn't He? With the Lord that had mercy on thee, none of His decrees shall be removed. God's love stands faster than the mountains. His love to Christ is unchangeable. And He will no more cease loving believers. Now you get this. He will no more cease loving believers than He will cease loving Christ. Did you get that? In other words, He will no more cease loving me than He will cease loving Christ. And we know He'll always love Christ. And I know He'll always love me because He is unchangeable. So that's the only change that we know of is you and I. Our love changes, our friendship changes, our resolutions changes, and our desires changes. Everything changes about us, but He never changes. My friends, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have an unchangeable God. You are as a rock in the sea, immovable in the midst of all changes. Isn't that wonderful? Danny, come up. I want you to play something for us. Oh, what an unchangeable God. Do you know Christ? Do you know what I'm speaking about now? Do you know what I'm talking about here this morning? Can you not draw comfort and strength from what this message, through this message this morning? Is your heart lifted up to know that we have a God, a Savior that's immutable and who is within the veil for us this morning, who is unchangeable, who is the rock of our salvation, who is the power of God unto them that believe? My friends, let me see if I can read you something here. Let me read something to you. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them, and then of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, He confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. I want us all to turn in our hymn books, and I want us to turn to that gracious number. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. That's 115. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Brother Davis, come up and lead us in this gracious number, will you? And I want everybody to stand and sing as we close this message. There is a fountain filled with blood, my friends. Will you turn to the Lord this morning? Will you? Come on and sing it out. There's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sing it out. Everybody, come on. Second, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now let's sing that second one. Come on. Trust in that precious blood. How is it with you, Radio Land? Oh, my dear friends, you'll never have another opportunity like you have today to turn to Christ. Let Him break you at His feet. To the Lord. Be seated. Now we have to close out the broadcast this morning to you in Radio Land. Be back with us next Sunday, the 7th and 8th Voice of Truth message by our late pastor, and then the 10 or 11 o'clock Bible School of the Air and the 11 o'clock worship hour. May all God's richest blessings rest upon you. Let us hear from you. Goodbye. God bless you. Let's stand. Brother Davis, leads in closing prayer, please.